listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the September 2021 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features Sean Combs on the cover. This is Vanity Fair Part A. Now here's this month's editor's letter from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief. With opening photo, found object, Radhika Jones looking very turn of the century in an advertisement for the East Village Hair Salon Ringlet in 2000. There's a temporal side effect of the elongated COVID crisis, a sort of dislocation of time. Our calendar memories slip up. The marker last year has lost its meaning because 2020 is less last year than a lost year. 20 years ago, 9/11 caused a related kind of dislocation. The sheer impact of the event subsumed both the years immediately before it and the years after with its long shadow. For those of us who remember the day, who witnessed its terror, it can be hard to summon what else happened around it. The recent past is full of blind spots. History happens in an instant, but its effects take time to settle, and new generations come up who live and dream by different memories. The pull of the noisy present encourages inadvertent or willful amnesia, while the long-term passage of time acts as a filter. In a certain sense, it's easier to see clearly events that happened 50 or 100 years ago than those of two decades ago. So we dedicate this issue to the turn of the century, how the years 1999 to 2001 set us on the path to today. The roots of contemporary power and influence are hiding there in plain sight. On January 1st, 2000, Boris Yeltsin made a surprise announcement, resigning the presidency of Russia 6 months early and naming a 47-year-old former KGB apparatchik Vladimir Putin as his chosen successor in advance of free elections that were, in retrospect, a mere formality. In December of that year, 537 votes cast in Florida, plus one controversial Supreme Court decision, determined that George W. Bush would be the 43rd president of the United States. One of these men recently presided over the near-fatal poisoning of the leader of his country's opposition party. The other makes oil paintings on a ranch in Texas. While the war he began, the longest in American history, shudders to an end. Arguably, these two men did more to shape our current world order than any other individuals in this century so far. It's not just geopolitics either. As I write this letter, I am 400 pages deep into the galley of a forthcoming novel, Crossroads, by Jonathan Franzen. The novel that made him a household name, The Corrections, was published 20 years ago this September. A fourth Matrix movie arrives this year, directed by Lana Wachowski, as does a Sopranos prequel movie, written by David Chase, both harking back to game-changing originals from 1999. The Princess of Pop, Britney Spears, released her first two albums in 1999 and 2000. They remain two of the best-selling albums of all time. And yet, this year's news has established Spears as a tragic inversion of the sexually empowered 21st century woman, allegedly stripped of agency over her own body. 2 decades ago, Bjork wore a swan dress on the Oscars red carpet. This June, Dior sent a swan dress down the runway. Next photos from the vault. Some of our favorite covers from 1999 to 2001. And they feature Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck, Tom Cruise, Will Smith, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Keanu Reeves. Sean Combs, the artist and entrepreneur who is also an avatar of how potently those two identities can combine, creates his own eras, and the turn of the century saw his transformation from Puff Daddy to P. Diddy. It wasn't just a name change, as Tressie McMillan Cottom observes in her brilliant cover story, but an inflection point marking his success in taking hip-hop iconography to scale. He understood hip-hop as a lifestyle at a time before influencer had entered our cultural lexicon, she writes. How his next era, with corresponding name change, this time to love, will land depends in part on his ability to evolve, but also on the evolving conditions around him. Changing views about social responsibility, about contesting the grip of capitalism, about the viability of the hustle. We will remember the COVID-19 crisis and the systemic failures it exposed as propelling us to a crossroads, just as 9/11 did. 20 years from now, what will we say about how we emerged from it? Will we be able to see the opportunities for reframing our culture and our politics and act on them? Can we get a jump on revealing our blind spots? This issue delves into the past, not just to remind us of what we've lived through and what we live with, but to sharpen our focus on what lies ahead. Thank you. Here are some of the contributors to the issue, and they are also pictured here. Atish Tasir, Rudy Country. I thought it was important to take ownership of what had become of Giuliani, says Tasir, who wrote about the former New York mayor as the 20th anniversary of 9/11 approached, to understand how we were implicated in the tragic collapse of this once impressive public figure. Tressie McMillan Cottom, with love, Sean Combs. Cottom first met Diddy more than 25 years ago when she booked his new act, Biggie Smalls, for the homecoming concert at North Carolina Central University. Surprisingly, in 2021, he said he recalled a spunky girl who fit her description. I was charmed, despite my very best intentions, says Cottom. June Ambrose, with love, Sean Combs. Ambrose first worked with Diddy nearly 25 years ago on the set of the Mo Money Mo Problems music video. It was a time when we were taking risk to shift culture through the images we were creating, says Ambrose. And who better to make magic with than Sean Combs? Julia Iaffe, The Good Wife. Iaffe first profiled Alexei Navalny in 2011, and reporting on his wife Yulia was heartbreaking. It was hard to get my mind around how someone could be so absolutely sure of herself, so calm and steady in the face of such pressure, violence, and terror, Iaffe says. Emily Gould, Dear John, while Gould's publishing career has often been exhausting, she says, I also feel a lot of fondness towards the people who are still getting up in the morning and thinking about how to unite books with readers. I wanted to write an exasperated, mean, but ultimately fond tribute to the industry as I knew it. Nigel Buchanan, Rudy Country. The extreme expression I illustrated reflects what I would guess to be his constant state of mind, says Buchanan, of depicting the former New York mayor's distinctive and lately ubiquitous face, panic, a difficulty with logic, and a strained relationship with truth. behind the issue. In the photos, Addison Rae as Betty and Mulholland Drive, Dylan Sprouse and Barbara Palvin as Richie and Margot Tenenbaum, accessories for Legally Blonde, photographer Emma Somerton, costume designer and stylist Ariane Phillips with her team. Elwood's signature pink, Neo's futuristic black, Patrick Bateman's business formal slash murder casual. For the most memorable characters of turn-of-the-century cinema, the wardrobe has become synonymous with the personality. Costume design intrinsically creates character, Oscar-nominated costume designer Ariane Phillips says. For our September portfolio, Vanity Fair tapped Phillips and photographer Emma Somerton to reimagine 9 of our favorite films of the era through a contemporary lens, with next-gen standouts playing the leads. The concept, a glimpse behind the scenes at classic screen test, hair and makeup, lighting, actors reading lines between takes, all the elements that come together to define the role before filming begins. 14 young stars, 25 trunks of clothing, more than 100 pairs of shoes, and countless accessories later, the nostalgia was in full force. On the day of the shoot, we really went with the vibe of what the talent were doing, says Somerton. Kiki Palmer, cast as Legally Blonde's Elle Woods, was all about embodying the character's attitude. Patrick Schwarzenegger embraced his inner American psycho to the point where he was kind of scary, says Somerton. The films featured in our portfolio, from the Royal Tenenbaums to Moulin Rouge to Love and Basketball, span comedy to musical to romance, but they have this in common. All 9 original costume designers were women, including Phillips, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, 2001. For Phillips, honoring those original designs lent this portfolio special meaning. It's less about recreating and more about paying homage, celebrating the work of all of these female costume designers, Phillips says. Pearls of Wisdom, knitwear designer, model, and meme queen Ella Emhoff has style to spare, by Britt Hennemuth. And she's shown here in a photo, reclining and wearing slacks and a knit top. Ella Emhoff, daughter of second gentleman Doug Emhoff and stepdaughter of Vice President Kamala Harris, caught the nation's attention thanks to her now infamous Miu Miu inauguration coat and a moment of unplanned eyebrow wiggling toward Mike Pence. Since then, Emhoff has graduated from Parsons, launched her first knitwear collection, and signed with IMG Models. From her Fashion Week lodgings in Paris, Emhoff is carefully mum about all things Mamala, but candid about her newfound notoriety and her own future in politics. She spent her childhood in Los Angeles biking around the Venice canals, but didn't feel like I was fully able to grow into myself until I moved to New York. Her mom taught her how to knit at a Disneyland hotel when she was a child. Her capsule collection with Batsheva Hay launched this spring with hopes of a full line. It's probably just going to be Ella Emhoff. This isn't how she expected to get into modeling, which I think makes it all kind of more exciting. She got her first offers on Instagram and had done a few smaller projects before her exposure catapulted her to top designers' attention. Paris Couture Week was her first semi-live modeling gig for Balenciaga, following her pandemic virtual runway debut for Proenza Schouler in February. "I'm nervous because I'm not really good at walking in heels," she said prior to the show. She confirms she is dating Samuel Hine, an editor at GQ, and describes her perfect date as a stop at the market, buying the wackiest produce and figuring out what to cook with it. She also insists on adding soft-boiled eggs when and wherever possible. On politics, my dad asks me very often, "So, have you reconsidered law school?" And I keep saying, "Doug, not happening. I'm going to leave it to you, and I will be the artist." She's ready for a new style. "I am growing my hair out. Heard it here first. It had its moment, and I want to move on from the mullet. I'm ready for the big curly mane." But she still loves her inauguration outfit. "I still dream about that coat, but I feel like if I ever wore that again, it would just be like, really? We get it." One in a Million. A new Aaliyah biography takes a hard look at old narratives. By Kaya D. Gooseby. In the photos, Aaliyah, photographed in the mid-90s from Baby Girl. This is a book by an Aaliyah fan for the Aaliyah fans, writes music journalist Kathy Iandoli in Baby Girl, better known as Aaliyah, published by Atria. Even 20 years after the singer's death in a plane crash, Aaliyah has continued to impact music, fashion, and culture. But in a time of re-examination, Iandoli saw an opportunity to really hold a magnifying glass to the narrative and show who she was. An incredible talent, an incredible singer and songwriter, and a survivor, says the writer, referring to Aaliyah's secret marriage at 14 to R. Kelly, who is now facing trials for, among other charges, widespread sex-related crimes. She was always so gentle and delicate and angelic, Iandoli says, but that woman was made of steel. night moves. We're going out again. But party girls and boys can trade going out tops for sky-high platforms, glitter, and chrome. In the photo, Parker Posey dances toward this century in Party Girl, 1995, and she's seen standing in the middle of a city street, balancing on a stack of books, wearing platform boots and a leopard skin coat. Here's what's trending. School of Rock. Berluti jacket, which is black leather zip-up with side pockets and knit cuffs. Celine Homme by Eddie Slimane necklace, which is a gigantic silver chain. Michael Kors collection dress in red sparkly lamé. Giorgio Armani beauty lip power lipstick in shade 500, which is a shade of pink. Prada boots, and these are platform mid-calf boots in pink metallic sequin. Swarovski earrings in pink crystal. Chanel Ombre Premiere Liquid Eyeshadow in Lamé Ivoire. Ralph Lauren collection bag, which is in silver metallic snakeskin. Emporio Armani shirt, which is all black, long sleeves. Ralph Lauren Emporio Armani shirt. Saint Laurent by Anthony Vaccarello skirt in navy blue with a patch pocket and black fur hemline. And Valentino Beauty Eye to Cheek Blush and Eyeshadow. Warm Fuzzies by Daisy Shaw Ellis, with photograph by Paul Kuike, which shows a Fendi multi-baguette handbag in shearling. When Fendi launched the baguette in 1997, it became not only an it bag, but a founding artifact of fashion itdom. Carrie Bradshaw toted it all around Sex and the City. Paris Hilton took it to the clubs. A couple of decades later, Fendi family matriarch and accessories director Silvia Venturini Fendi has given the bag a makeover fit for a new moment. A swath of textural shearling and a double shoulder strap, and sent it down the runway alongside the debut ready-to-wear collection from the house's newly appointed artistic director Kim Jones. To quote one of those early adopters, "That's hot." Kaya D. Goosby writes, "Bonjour Jeunesse." In the photo by Paul Kuike, the model wears a Chloe patchwork embroidery trench coat, black knee boots, and a leather belt to match the patchwork coat. It may be a relative youngster among French fashion houses, but Chloé has had nearly 70 years of generation-defining designers, from the house's socially conscious founder, Gabby Ayon, to Karl Lagerfeld in the 70s and Phoebe Philo in the early 2000s. Now for her first collection as creative director, Gabriella Hearst has shaped the brand in her vision, with nods to classic Chloe codes, scalloped details, and her Uruguayan background, rich leather and patchwork embroidery. But the biggest impact may be Hearst's commitment to sustainability. She has eliminated polyester and put on a carbon offset show in pursuit of what she calls honest luxury. And Keziah Weir gives us this slipstream. Last time the ballet flat rained, it was paired with black skinny jeans. Might we suggest a good book instead? Beautiful World, Where Are You? By Sally Rooney. Doubling down on relationship excavation, Rooney's newest depicts a year in the life of two friends, an editor and a reluctantly famous author, and the men they love, published by FSG. The flats that pair are by the row and are simple beige flats with a black cross strap. Matrix by Lauren Groff. And this Bildungsroman about the real-life 12th century poet Marie de France, a teenage Marie is exiled to a blighted Benedictine nunnery where she finds strength and power as a prioress, published by Riverhead. The flats that pair are red leather slingback pumps by Dior. In the Country of Others by Leila Slimani. After World War II, married couple Amin, who is Moroccan, and Mathilde, French, settle in Amin's home country, where they navigate the oppressive French colonial regime, published by Penguin. The flats that are paired with this book are by Roger Vivier, and are a black and white tweedy print, and the strap has a crystalline clasp. The Archer by Shruti Swami. In Bombay, motherless Vidya discovers Kathak. The lyrical dance form brings meaning to her life as she wrestles with expectations that she become a certain kind of wife and mother herself, published by Algonquin. And the flats that pair with this book are silver sequin with black toe caps. Harlem Shuffle by Colson Whitehead. Manhattan furniture dealer Ray Carney, dreaming of a classic six for his growing family, falls into a hotel heist gone wrong. The gloriously pulpy plot unfurls against activist-awakened 1960s Harlem, published by Doubleday. The paired flats are green leather with a matching leather bow. And Poet Warrior by Joy Harjo. In her second memoir, completed during the pandemic, the United States' first Native American poet laureate threads personal stories of music and poetry with references to the power of breath, published by Norton. And the paired flats are by Mansour Gavral and are baby blue with a tiny string bow.
Thank you.
You go, girls. The teen BFFs of Pin 15 moonlight as our beauty correspondents by Laura Regensdorf. In the photos, buddy icons, Maya and Anna, played by show co-creators Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle. And in a Polaroid, the two girls are ready for the school dance. You don't need to have been a middle schooler in the era of dial-up internet to understand Pin 15, the Hulu comedy that follows two best friends, Anna and Maya, through the awkward odyssey of puberty. The show's pitch-perfect details, AIM chats on circa 2000 desktops, lip gloss over braces, conjure a time of so much change, both bodily and cultural. An animated special lands in late August, a shift in format that recalls a popular series from that period, Daria. The gimmick of Pin 15, though, is that its co-creators and stars, Anna Conkle and Maya Erskine, who play teens, are 30-somethings and new moms in real life. For these pages, the women step into character, especially for Vanity Fair, assuming the role of la-di-da magazine writers, opining about the latest beauty products fit for actual grown-ups or those who just want to play the part. About Face Matte Fix Lip Pencil. Anna says, basically, this is the color of some people's actual lips, so for them it will not even show up. But I would suggest doling out the moolah. Let's just say it glides on smooth. My old babysitter who loved Madonna would have sold me to someone for it. The inside of her lips never matched the outline, and this was on purpose. For her, I would most definitely recommend it. 5 stars. Herbivore Aquarius Pore Purifying Cream. Maya writes, according to astrologers, a Taurus, I'm a Taurus, and Aquarius relationship isn't the best match, but I decided to give this a try. It's baby blue, though it does not make your face blue. I put it on this dry spot that will not go away with my usual moisturizer. My mom thinks it's ringworm, but she's a bee. Just kidding. She's just wrong. Anyway, it made the spot less dry and felt warm and sexy. 5 stars. Tweezerman Moondust Slant Tweezer. Maya writes, first impression, love the sparkles. Since I don't have any facial hair, this isn't something I normally need. But if I did have a mustache or hairy brows, the angular points would be really good at grabbing unruly hairs. It actually doesn't hurt, I swear. Not that I tried, just like what I think, based on looking at it. 5 stars. Marc Jacobs Perfect Intense Perfume. Anna writes, when I asked the perfume woman to try a spray at her counter, she looked at me like I was a child playing house. She didn't think I had the dough or the sensibility for this sophisticated ointment. Jokes on her. I co-own a magazine, girlfriend. The cologne hit me with a smack of citrus, and then I wafted in wicked great flowers and musk. Altogether, it screams cheddar and sex. I'll take it. Charge it to my card. 5 stars. Tower 28 Bronzino Bronzer. Anna writes, the case is clear, heavy plastic, and I like how it feels in my fingers. A pale sight like me can use as much sun-kissed shimmer as possible, so I pile it on. I'm blown away because I've applied layer after layer and it still looks natural. One thing, though, it says Bronzino on the back. Maybe it's a play on words, but my Grammy ordered this from a restaurant once and it turned out to be fish. So other than that, I seriously love it and will use it everywhere I can reach. 5 stars. Milk Makeup Electric Glossy Lip Plumper. K, really, really interesting. They said spicy, but, like, I didn't feel anything, so I put a hefty dose on my lips. They looked juicy, like plump larvae. Soon they started to burn and tingle, but in a way that feels good. After a few more minutes, my lips got bigger like Anna's when she wakes up in the morning. Timing of burning, 2 minutes. Timing of big lips, I'd say 48 minutes. Timing of looking hot all day, 5 stars, says Maya. Starface XL stars pimple patches. I've never had a pimple and don't think I ever will in life, but I would def wear these. Highlighter yellow patches that make my face shine bright like a galaxy. To give them a full review, I had to use all my senses. There was zero smell. It tasted like nothing, so I'm almost positive they're just stickers. My stomach is kind of hurting right now because I swallowed one by accident. But yeah, 4 stars, says Maya. And Anna writes, Gucci eyeliner. I usually do a line of white above and below my lashes for special occasions, like when I married Justin. Anna Timberlake made me feel like a woodsman, so I kept my last name. The light blue is a good substitute for my usual one, and I love that it says Gucci because it fits in with most things in our house that are also this brand. 5 stars. The truth is, the purple brings out my under-eye circles. Instead, we use it around Maya's mouth because we thought it'd be fun drama to make someone think she drank all the grape juice without asking. Despite the shimmer, they got pissed. 3 stars. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service.